Good, thanks. So today we are finishing our series, four-week series, called One, talking about what are the things that make us one, that make us united as the church. When we finished off last week, we ran out of time. I didn't get to read a passage that I had wanted to read that is maybe the most important passage in the New Testament on what unity is all about. And it's not really entirely what we're preaching on this morning, but I do want to read that passage because it's so significant. It is from John 17, starting in verse 20, and it's Jesus' prayer. It's interesting that one of Jesus' prayers is recorded in Scripture, right? And I don't know if you know this or remember this, but Scripture says, Bible says that Jesus ever intercedes for you. Jesus is continually coming before the Father on your behalf, praying for you, talking to the Father about you. Don't you wish that sometimes you could lean in and hear what he's saying? Right? What is Jesus speaking to the Father about me? What is he praying for me? And this is one moment in Scripture when we actually get to lean in and hear what Jesus prayed for me, for you. It's really cool. And so Jesus says, he's talking to the Father. He says, my prayer is not for my disciples alone, not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you. Right? This is a prayer for you to the Father. Isn't that cool? Right? That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Now let's pause there for a moment. Jesus prayed for us that we would walk in the same kind of unity that the Father and the Son walk in. That should blow our minds this morning. The Father and the Son, eternally one, eternally connected in love and service to one another, and just continually being for each other and for the same purposes, that we would have that kind of unity. That's what Jesus prayed. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Wow. Right? I have given them the glory that you gave me. There's something that resides in you and I as followers of Jesus that is like what resided in Jesus when he walked on the earth. I've given them the glory that you have that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. He repeats it again. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The world will know that God sent Jesus and that God loves the world if you and I walk in unity together. Isn't that amazing? So Lord, may we learn how to do this well. May we learn how to walk in unity together. So today, final week, we're talking about commitment, serving over self. And if you've just jumping in with us today, week one, we talked about that we are united because we all have the same King. We all serve King Jesus together. Week two, we talked about we are united by our calling, we have the same mission. And as we do that together, we walk in unity together. Last week, we talked about we are united by community. Jesus meant us to not just be an organization that people belong to or a meeting that people come to, but a community where people belong. Amen? And today we're talking about commitment. We're united by commitment. We need each other. We need each other. You need the church. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about a religious organization. I'm not sure how much that really matters to Jesus. But the body of Christ, the gathering of God's people that come together to love Him together, you need that. That's what Jesus meant when He talked about His church. You need the church, and the church needs you. I want to encourage you today. I know there are reasons and seasons for pulling back a little bit, for getting rest, for getting perspective or whatever. But I want to encourage us that if we distance ourselves from the fellowship, which the New Testament over and over challenges us not to do, if we distance ourselves from the fellowship, we are in danger of being isolated from the herd and being easy pickings for the enemy. Bible says the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And how do lions hunt? They isolate something from the herd, and then they go after it. Right? So we want to be careful not to be isolated. But we need the church, and the church needs us. And it's by design that we are only complete. We are only complete in our service to Christ when we do it together. Jesus calls us to serve. Yes, to serve Him, but you know what? The only way to serve Him is by serving humans. The only way to serve Him is to serve humans. If you struggle with that, remember that in Matthew 25, Jesus said that people would come before the throne on the day of the Lord. And Jesus would say, "Well done, you've clothed me when I was naked, and you fed me when I was hungry. You took care of me when I was sick." And they would say, "Lord, when did we clothe you and feed you and take care of you?" He said, "Whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." That's how we serve Jesus, is by serving humans, right? In fact, the Gospel of John says that Jesus Himself, when He knew that all authority had been given to Him, what do you think the rulers of this world do when they realize that they have authority? Right? They power up, don't they? "Oh, look at all the stuff I can do. Look at all the wheels I can turn and the things I can make happen." Bible says, when Jesus realized that all authority had been given to him, he took his tunic off. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He picked up a bowl of water and he went to each one of his disciples and he washed their feet. Because heavenly authority is for serving. It's what we're called to do. Jesus served and then he said, I'm calling you to serve as well. Laying aside our own agendas for the sake of serving others. So three quick points this morning, and then I want to talk through some things. First of all, diversity is intentional in the body of Christ. God actually built diversity into his design for the church. That means it's okay that I'm weird. And you're weird too. Right? It's okay that we're different. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So although we're called to unity, we are not called to unanimity. That means having a unanimous opinion about everything. That's not what unity is about. And although we're called to unity, we are not called to uniformity, meaning that we all look and act the same. We are different. Some of us more different than others. But it's okay. Our diversity is actually part of the design of the church. It would be boring to have a room full of me's or you's. It would be chaos if everyone in the room was a preacher or everyone in the room was a worship leader or everyone in the room was an administrator. And think of all the things that wouldn't get any attention. But we are given the gift of each other. One Lord and one Spirit distributing the various gifts and manifestations of the Spirit's working in a multiplicity of personalities who are all unique but are all given for the common good. All for one, one for all, just like the Musketeers, right? For the common good. Secondly, unity is the process at work. Unity happens as we bring our differentness together and serve Christ with one mind and one heart, right? For one purpose. Unity happens as we bring our differentness together and serve Christ for one purpose. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13 says this, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that, everyone say so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So Paul is saying a diversity of leadership gifts is given so that a diversity of brothers and sisters can be raised up and equipped and released into a diversity of ministries. And the process of this happening, when it's all done for King Jesus, when it's all done for one mission, when it's all done in community, is a beautiful unity that is actually diversity brought together into a symphony. Different sounds, different instruments, different perspectives coming together to make a beautiful sound to the Lord. Amen? Notice in this passage that the goal is not for me to be built up or you to be built up, but that the body of Christ would be built up. If we're just here to get out of it what we want, then we've missed the point of the community of the church. We are called together by Jesus our King, not to be takers, but to give ourselves for each other and for the fulfilling of Jesus' mission on planet Earth. To give ourselves in service. And thirdly, maturity is the purpose. There is no way that we would grow and mature if everyone was like us. If everyone thought like you and agreed with you and gave you everything you wanted, you would be as spoiled as a 2-year-old who's protected from every difficulty and always given what they want. It's as we bounce off each other and learn how to manage our differentness and disagreements in the work of the kingdom that we learn how to become mature. Paul says it like this, as we continue in Ephesians 4. Then we will no longer be infants. That's someone who's not mature, right? Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. So we'll be as helpless as infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we talked about that last week, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So first of all, that infant thing. A coasting church is an infant church. If we are not intentionally and purposely engaged in the mission Jesus gave us to do, then we are vulnerable as infants on the top of, on the waves of the ocean. That's pretty vulnerable, isn't it? And it's easy to get off course. Have you ever tried staying up straight on a bicycle without moving forward? Right? Pretty tough to do. It might be possible, but it's pretty tough to do. But when you get moving, all of a sudden it becomes easy to stay balanced. Right? It's like a believer or a church trying to stay balanced without moving forward on mission. We get unstable. And the passage here says, as each part does its work. That's we giving ourselves to the work of Jesus is part of what will help us become mature. It's a big part. As each part does its work, we grow not only individually, but together we grow into maturity. Kingdom ministry is not a spectator sport. And if you are in the bleachers today, no judgment, but we want to invite you off the bleachers into the game. And what you are able to contribute might seem small, right? I talk to, oftentimes, to especially people who are up there in age who feel like there's nothing left that they can contribute. But you have wisdom and you have just a heart for people. You have an ability. Never say, all I can do is pray. Right? Some of you are trained prayer warriors for decades, and we need you to be involved and engaged in praying. What you are able to contribute might seem small, but I guarantee you that it is important. And I want to challenge you and urge you to consider whether one of our teams at Evangel might be a place where you can fit. God may be calling you to serve in the church, with the church. He may be calling you to serve in a way in the community. But giving our lives in service for the kingdom is vital to our own maturity and the growth of our church. Maybe you don't have a great handle on what you have to offer. I want to let you know this fall we're going to be offering a class called Shape. It's not a fitness thing. Shape. It's an acronym for spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experience. And it's just a tool that has been developed over the last few decades to help people discover where they might fit in giving of themselves in service to Jesus. Right? So looking at these particular areas in our lives, looking at what are the spiritual gifts that God has given me, either supernatural gifts that He's given me or natural gifts that He has redeemed and wants to use for His kingdom. What is my heart? What is it that I'm passionate about? Right? What I love to ask people, what makes you angry? Right? What justice issue makes you angry? Because that might be a key to something God wants you to do something about. Right? What are you passionate about? What abilities have you learned? Maybe you've just got through your work, through your growing up, you know, you've got some abilities, things you're able to do that you can bring and use to serve the Lord. Your personality. Our personalities make a difference where and how we serve, right? If you are an incredibly shy person, we're not going to make you go in the lobby and greet people as they come in the door, right? But we'll help you find a place where you can serve that fits who you are. Right? Or experience. What are some life experiences that you have that will help you serve well? So this is just a tool that we're going to be offering probably late October, early November. So if this is something that interests you to find out where do I fit? What is it that I have to give for the sake of the kingdom? That's coming up this fall. So in the next 7 minutes, we're going to do a really fast breeze through. We did this last year as well, but I want to do a really fast breeze through the ministries, the places that there are to serve currently in Evangel. And so I want you to listen to this and follow through. I love doing this because, first of all, it helps us to celebrate what are all the ways that we're already serving and doing things that bring glory to God and impact our community. What are we already doing? And I get to talk a little bit as well about some of the things we'd love to expand and do more of if God enables us. So when I'm done this, we're going to invite you into the lobby. Don't rush out the door today. We're giving you an extra 10 minutes or so to hang out. There are cookies, really good cookies. There are cookies, and there's coffee and tea, and we just want to invite you to stick around for a bit and visit the tables in the lobby and just prayerfully consider how God might want you to serve in this next season of ministry. So, first slide up is our first impressions team. We've got kind of some of these are collected together under umbrellas. So first impressions being, when people first come into the church, what are the first impressions that they have of who we are? A big part of that is our host team. I've already referred to them already this morning. The people that when you walk in the building in the morning, somebody opens the door for you, somebody shakes your hand, somebody says, so glad to see you this morning. That's our host team that welcomes you into the building. And that's, can I say that may seem like a small thing to just say hi to somebody in the morning, but it is a very significant ministry because it really matters. When we have visitors come in, guests come in who are here for the first time, the way that they are greeted is one of the most important things that will give an impression of who we are as a church, right? And we want to do that well. Our coffee team, self-explanatory. We've got a team of people who make coffee in the mornings for Sunday so that you can enjoy that. Our next steps team, In the early stages of someone's time here at Evangel, we have a class called Next Steps. And if you are new, we'd love for you to take that class. But Next Steps gives an introduction to who we are as a church. Our decor team that helps us, especially in different seasons of the year, Christmas and Easter and so on, but does some decorating in the building. Our social media team, we've got some people who put up things online for our online first impressions, right? People, oftentimes nowadays, the first impression somebody gets of who we are is what they see on Facebook or Instagram. All right? Administration. If some of you have administrative gifts and you just love organizing things and filing things, you are different than me. And I thank God for you, and we need you, right? And so we have a financial counting team that after every Sunday counts our offering and helps with that. We have Micheline, who works in the office as our office administrator, but she could use some help with some things around the office if you have skills to offer there. We have a library/bookstore that we're trying to get kind of up and running well again, and so if you have some skills, love books and love organizing stuff, there's something there. Plan to protect. We have a system where we protect our children through screening workers and so on, and that takes a lot of organization behind the scenes. And if you want to help with that, that would be a place to help. Congregation care. We have a care team that does some meals for those who are not well or coming home from the hospital or whatever, and does some visits. We have a breakthrough team who on Sunday mornings is up here praying for people as needed. And our prayer ministries. We have a number of prayer ministries, ways that we pray for people as a church. And if you have, you know, a passion for prayer and you want to be involved in those, every Thursday at 1 p.m., we have a prayer intercessory prayer meeting that meets here. We'd love to see that grow. It's currently maybe about 6 or 7 people that gather, but we'd love to see that grow if you've got time on a Thursday and are passionate about prayer. We have prayer chains and ways of passing on prayer needs that if you want to be involved in that, just let us know. Community. So we have ways that we gather people together to connect in meaningful ways. So our connect groups are groups that meet in people's homes, spend some time around the Word of God, spend some time praying for each other, encouraging each other. I would love to see, we have a decent percentage of people in our church involved in connect groups. I would love to see us push that towards, you know, like 90% of our church in connect groups. We'd love to see you connected because I believe that that's a significant way, right? We do relationship much better in circles than we do in rows. Right? I mean, it's great that we come on Sunday mornings and we sit in rows and we worship Jesus together and maybe connect with a few people in the lobby before we leave. But if we can get around a circle in someone's living room and have meaningful conversations, God can do really awesome things in our lives. Alpha, we have Alpha coming up this fall. Alpha, if you don't know the Alpha course, it's an introduction to who Jesus is. It's great for if you're new to the Christian faith, but it's also great if somebody doesn't know if they believe in Jesus and to have a great introduction to who he is. We have men's ministry kicking off this fall, and you're going to hear more about that in the days ahead. You've already heard quite a bit about our women's ministry, Encourage Her, and that's exciting. There's a number of things coming up, so ladies, watch for that. And discipleship. We are working as a leadership team. We really feel that God is calling us to be more intentional about discipling, helping each other grow in our faith. How many could stand to grow a little bit? Right? All of us. Nobody's there yet. If the Apostle Paul wasn't there yet, we're not there yet. Right? So discipleship. Next Gen Ministries. Pastor Ocean shared quite a bit about that in our announcements. So Little Jam is our nursery up to age 4 on Sunday mornings. And Kids Jam is ages 5 to 11 on Sunday mornings. Elevate Kids is our midweek thing for kids. And VBS Day Camp and Elevate Youth. So those are all exciting things that happen if you want to pour into the next generation. Every one of these ministries needs workers. So if you want to pour into the next generation, this is important. Facility, doing work around the building to help things work well and so on. Maintenance inside and out. If you're a handy man or woman and good with tools and good with doing stuff around the building, we'd love to have you involved in that. Custodial, helping out. We've got a custodian who does a great job, but never hurts to have some help doing extra things. If you love to clean, he could probably put you to work. And our IT team doing computer work, keeping things running. And our sign team. We've got a team that changes the message on the sign every week and keeps things going there. Outreach. Evangelism, we've got people who like to connect with people out in the streets and have conversations about the Lord. Skate park, that's an outreach that we do serving the youth of our city. The things that we do for Terry Fox Elementary, have a great relationship with them and loving on our neighbors. Numbers of community projects we are already doing and want to expand that. Seniors is One of our longest standing outreach ministries has had an incredible impact on seniors in our city. Almost done. Kitchen. We have needed for quite some time a kitchen team lead, someone who can kind of take responsibility for that whole kitchen thing and help us organize it. We have a Soup Sunday team that helps us with our monthly meals on Sundays after service, a funeral team that helps with meals for funerals, and our seniors' meal team. Worship, musicians, singers, leaders, tech team in the sound booth, doing sound, live stream, and computer that help us do what we do. And that's the list. Lots of stuff. We are busy. We're doing, I think, some pretty amazing things for the kingdom, for the community, and excited for the ministry season ahead. And if any of those tweak your attention or your heart, we would love for you to. So out in the lobby, there are, on every one of the tables, there are little response slips of paper. Worship team can come up while I'm talking here, but there are little slips of paper. And as you're walking around, prayerfully looking at the things that we do, first of all, we would love for you to consider where you might fit and check off an area you're interested in. Put your name on it, check it off, and there's a basket on your way out the door. Drop it in there, and someone will be in touch in the next couple weeks to chat with you about helping you connect into ministry at Evangel. And the other thing I want to mention is the Connect Group table over kind of on that side of the lobby. If you are interested in getting involved in a Connect Group, first of all, we would love to have more Connect Groups. If you're interested in leading a Connect Group, please let me know, because we'd love to get some more Connect Groups going. We've got more people to fit in probably than places that we have to put them. And the Connect Group lists, if you want to be involved this fall, and there's a time, because the time and day that they meet is on the sheet. If there's something that fits for you, put your name down. If you're already in a Connect Group, don't put your name down. Like, don't think we forgot you. We only put lines for the spaces that are left, right? If a Connect Group has 7 people and there's only room for 10, there's 3 lines on the page to get some more people involved. Okay? Does that make sense? Good. Good, good. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for every person in this room, every person watching online. I thank you, Father, for the passions and the gifts, the interests, the abilities, the anointings that you have put in our lives. God, as we're sensing a tug or a pull to say, God wants me off the benches and on in the game. Where do I fit? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you give us clarity. That you would help us understand how your calling works its way out in our lives. We want to give ourselves, our lives, our hearts for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.